Hello, friends. Welcome to this very special episode of Trim's Travails. Timothy Trainer is, of course, an IP attorney who for years has done just remarkable work internationally. He's also an award-winning author, and one of his most special books, at least to my heart, is The Fortunate Son. So today we are celebrating National Vietnam War Veterans Day. It's March 29th, and this will be Tim's April episode of his show, Tim's Travails. So I'm just going to throw it over to you. We have some really special guests here. So Tim, tell us all about it.
Well, thank you, Hope. It's a special program for me today because I have Josh Silva and Monica Rodriguez with me today, both who are Vietnam combat veterans. And I thought, we need to give voice to the people that serve there. And I want to do that today. The other thing is the inset in my background, The Fortunate Son is a book that we put together. And I say we because it was a bunch of guys in the same company that served with Josh Silva and my father. And so the background there is simply that I was fortunate to interview a bunch of guys from that company. We put the interviews together in the book. And so that's the background there. And Josh served with, I would say, everybody that's in that book, including my father. And then we have Monica Rodriguez. And let me just make a couple comments here because he was in Vietnam earlier than a lot of folks back in 1965, as early as 65. And for anyone who has either watched the movie We Were Soldiers or read the full book, I think that it's worth saying that his experience as chronicled in that book would make it very it's a difficult read, actually. And he was part of that event, the Ia Drang battle, that was not part of the movie, actually, although it's in the book. The movie only covers really only about half of what really happened, not only to the troops that were there at the beginning of the battle, but also what happened when reinforced troops came in and had to actually march back. And it's a very difficult thing to read. But I would say that if you have watched the movie, you really saw only half of what happened. I think it's actually even more traumatic to read what happened to the reinforcing troops who came in later. To say that anybody survived that is just an absolutely incredible thing. But let's go back and start on a little bit of a lighter side. Monica, just curiosity, did you enlist or were you drafted into the Army?
I was drafted right after high school.
Uh-huh. And what year was that when you entered the Army?
In 1963.
Wow, okay. And I guess the question too is, when you went to Vietnam, did you go, I know that some unit back then, units actually arrived in Vietnam as a whole unit, like the first Cav did. Were you part of that bigger group of people that went in, or like Josh probably went in more as, one, they just came in individually?
No, we were from San Francisco. We were loaded on a troop carrier, the whole division, and was sent, and we landed in Quy Nhon. And then from there, they took us to An Ke.
Okay.
That's where the base camp was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my company was. That's where I was at.
So you actually landed in Vietnam in 1965.
Yes.
Yeah. And, even then, I guess, was it a one-year tour of duty that everybody was obligated to do?
It was a two-year tour of duty.
Oh, well, yeah. Josh, I guess I should ask you how much better it was for you, given that I think by the time you went, it was basically a one-year tour, right?
The one-year tour, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you mean Vietnam?
Yeah, the Vietnam
tour. In country. No, in country, we were just there in 65.
Oh, okay.
1 year.
1 year, yeah. Okay. So your draft period was 2 years.
Yes, the whole deal for 2 years. All draftees serve for 2 years.
I guess one of the things I'm curious about, you got drafted in 63, but you ended up being in Vietnam in 1965.
That's correct.
Yeah. So how much longer after the November battle were you still in the Army?
I was in the Army until November of the 29th.
Of 65?
That's when I was of 65, yes.
Oh.
I was there, I think that troop carrier unloaded us in September of 65. And I was released from active duty at Oakland, California in November of the 29th of 1965.
Wow. So in a very short period of time, you actually had some very, very bad experiences.
It was. The other thing was that we were supposed to travel by helicopters. Well, the area that was assigned to our battalion was in the Central Highlands, bordering Cambodia. So it was all just jungle. And the choppers would just land on a clear strip, leave us there. And sometimes they wouldn't pick us up like for weeks at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to live in the jungle.
Yeah.
The whole company by itself.
I guess in some ways, so you had a total amount of time in Vietnam of about 4 to 5 months, I guess, from what you're saying?
Probably four or five or six.
Yeah. And luckily you were able to come home and get discharged by the end at the end of 65.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, Josh, that's a little bit, well, tell us your I guess, situation as far as finding yourself being drafted. A couple of years after that, of course, after Monaco's experience.
Right. I graduated from high school in 1966, May of 1966, and I got the wild notion to get married. So I got married in September of 66. And by the time I got married, I was already working. In fact, when I came out of high school, I had a job with General Dynamics Fort Worth. And I was exempt from going to military duty because of the fact that, of course, General Dynamics was a national defense contractor. But during the marriage situation, or when we got married, we weren't very happy about being in Fort Worth. So I told Becky, I said, my wife, I said, I'll take you back home, but I'll guarantee you I'm going to get drafted. And sure enough, of course, 67, we came back home to Lubbock, Texas. That's where my home is. And sure enough, 6 months later, I got the letter. You're hereby inducted into the armed services. And so I got drafted in October of 67. Mm-hmm. That's when I got drafted. And of course, winded up going to Fort Polk, Louisiana. Of course, at that time, everybody that was going to Fort Polk was pretty much addressed as being a draftee going to Vietnam.
Yes.
And so I did my basic training, AIT. And then the Army came up with a special program, which was the NCO program, because we were losing so many NCOs in Vietnam. And so they had the NCO program, which became known as the Shake and Bake program.
Yeah,
I was known as the Shake and Bake because within less than a year, you would get your buck sergeant stripes. However, the kicker was that if you made that particular school, you were going to wind up being an infantry squad leader once you got through. So that's what I did. I went through the basic AIT and NCO school and wind up in Vietnam October of 1967. or 68, excuse
68,
me.
68, yeah.
68. And so I served from 68 to August the 12th of 1969 in Vietnam. We came home August 12th, 1969.
Yeah.
And I served like 10 months. I came out early because I applied for an early out to go to school. I wanted to get to school so bad. You know, actually, I wanted to get out of the jungle so bad. they didn't see that, but they granted me the opportunity to come back to school, and I was able to come back and sign up and go to school at Texas Tech University here in Lubbock, Texas.
So, well, it's you know, we are. I guess it's okay to tell the audience that today we're actually recording this podcast on March 9th. Not a date maybe that is anything to Monica, but certainly I think to you and I, Josh, you and I mean, it's a day where a lot of people in B Company would remember that day. It was not a good day.
No, it was not. That particular day, my squad was point squad, and your dad was with us. Your dad was the senior man with us, and we encountered a bunker complex with two machine guns. And that particular day, there was quite a few casualties. In fact, I had my first casualty. I lost a young man that had been with me only 1 month by the name of Lester Danchez from New Jersey. And at the same time, my assistant machine gunner, Jack Miller, which we call Squirt, also lost his eyesight. A round kind of went across his face and lost his eyesight. And I brought a picture that I don't know if I've ever shared it with you.
Oh.
I don't know if we can get it on camera or not.
Yeah,
but I brought the picture. A picture of the squad, my Dirty Eight. And I don't know if you can see it right there.
Hold it up a little higher if you can. A little bit more. Yeah, I'm bringing it closer to the camera or computer. Yeah. And up. Yep. Yeah, I've seen that picture. Yeah, that's your squad.
Yeah, that's the squad. And from left to right on the top is Lester Danchez, Drew Rounds from Nevada, myself, and then Greg Dykstra from Michigan. And then on the bottom, we got Fred Kester from Wisconsin, and then Leonard Carlton from Florida, and then my machine gunner, Jimmy Jones, from Mississippi, Houston, Mississippi, and then, of course, Jack Miller from Ohio.
Yeah.
So that's a squad that I had. And these guys, like I said, we lost Dan Chess and we lost Jack that day. And then the rest of them, pretty much, I think that Leonard and Fred and Rounds and Jimmy and even Dykstra, all of them got wounded that day as well. I was fortunate that I didn't get hit at all. Was just watching over me.
Yeah.
And the rest of them went down. And of course, we also had your dad got hurt that day. McCaffrey, our captain for the company, I also got shot that same day. And
Huey
Williams.
Yes.
Huey Williams. We lost Huey Williams that day.
Yeah.
My lieutenant, Bill Montgomery,
yeah,
was also hurt at that particular day. So there was quite a few of us. I think there was two KIAs, Danchess and Huey, and there's 20 or 30 wounded that particular day.
Yeah,
but I know. It was a bad day.
Actually, I have my father's papers here, and as I went through them at one point, I recall there was a document that had actually a whole list of everybody that was put in for a Purple Heart that day. And it literally is a list that takes both the front and back of a sheet of paper. So it was definitely one of those days that, on the one hand, you don't want to remember, but you can't ever forget it either.
No, you can't.
Yes.
And it was a tough day. You know, of course, two machine guns, crossfire.
Was
pretty bad.
Yeah. So, let's move on to something else, because, I mean, both of you have gone through, you know, some horrible times. But how did the two of you, after coming back, after serving, meet? How did the two of you hook up?
Well, we had known each other from some before we even left for Vietnam. In fact, Monica came as a student, I think, out of Texas, here at Texas Tech. And he went to the church that I used to attend. Oh, okay. So that's where we met.
Yeah.
So we knew each other before church, I mean, before the war, from the church affiliation that we had.
Uh-huh.
Well, Monica may remember other things. I don't know.
I just remember when you and Becky would go visit her parents. That's what I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've known each other.
Yes. And then I know, Josh, you've mentioned, and maybe Monica, both of you have participated in this program to help veterans after coming back, right?
Yes. Yes, there's a program called Reboot Combat Recovery, and it's a very good program, in my opinion. It's a faith-based program, and it helps us recognize that, you know, it's not our fault.
No.
What we went through. It's not our fault that we lost some of our guys. It's not our fault that someone got hurt, you know, but we thank the good Lord that he was with us.
Yeah.
And we were able to come back.
So I guess I'm curious, Monica, do you do you go to reunions or gatherings of guys you served with in Vietnam?
The only reunion that I attended was a reunion of those of us that were in the Battle of Ai Trang.
Yeah.
And we had a reunion at Port Lavaca, Texas.
Oh.
And that's the only reunion that, you know, at that time when they sent you home, the whole unit didn't come home.
Right, right.
When our duty time was up, they would send us home. I didn't get any telephone numbers. I didn't get any addresses. For 20 years, we were hunting each other as civilians. And they were the ones that found me, a guy by the name of Juan Ledesma from Corpus Christi called one time to the house. And when I got home from work, my wife told me that there was a voicemail in our telephone. Some guy from Corpus was looking for me. So me being the veteran that he was, when I told him that he was me, he says, "Where the hell have you been? We've been looking for you for 20 years.
Yeah.
Said, "Well, I've just been living life." So he gave me a list of all the people that he had found. And from that list, I started getting in touch with some of the guys in my platoon.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the that I was interested in.
Yeah.
And I found some. And some have already been drafted to the Heavenly Army. But there are about four or five of us that are still alive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All of the guys that I served with in my platoon were from the South, Alabama, Tennessee, Arkansas, and they couldn't pronounce my last name, Rodriguez. So they shortened my name to Rod. So when they called the house, they wanted to speak to Rod. And the first time my wife picked up the telephone, she says, "There's a guy here wanting to talk to Rod. Do you know a Rod?" And I said, "That's me." And then I told you the story that I just told you.
Yeah. And have you met with him, you know, several times, or is it just,
As a matter of fact, we used to meet once a year.
Yeah.
One of the guys, he used to be a minister. And he would make reservations at a camp, a religious camp. And we would go stay there for a week.
Yeah.
And after about the second or third year, he suggested that we take our wives so they could meet. He rented two cabins, one for the women and one for the guys.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
And the last two years that we met, I remember the last year he said, "We could meet because we had to take care of our families." He said, "But one of these days, we're going to get too old to drive, so we might not meet anymore. Mm-hmm. Well, his words were prophetic. Mm-hmm. We haven't met since about the fifth year.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say this, and Josh, I know I've sent you some invites. If you know, it's open, and some of the guys from B Company that is Josh's company, we still get together. I mean, I know that I wasn't there with you in Vietnam, but through my father, I started being asked, invited, shall I say, and welcome to attend. So one of the platoon sergeants, Jerry Guest, who lives up in Illinois, he was doing things at his lakeside cabin. And I went there, I don't know how many years in a row. And of course, COVID caused us to have a little bit of a break. And then he had some medical issues. But then we've actually picked it up again. So we plan to be together in September up in Michigan. It's a, you know, fairly good sized cabin by the lake. So, you know, if you, both of you, one of you wants to come, and I'm happy to send you the dates and where we'll be and how to get there and all that stuff. Or if you fly into the right airport, I'm willing to pick you up and drive you over to the cabin. So, you know, you're always welcome. It's not about just the guys that were in B Company. We were up there a few years ago, and there was a guy and his family at a cabin next door. And I don't know, Josh, you know Jack Jeter. He'll mm-hmm. say hello to anybody. And he started talking to this guy and found out that the guy was he'd been in first cav, but he was artillery. Mm-hmm. And he had never really gotten together after he left the Army. And, you know, suddenly he was spending time with us while he was still up there. So, and, you know, that's we cool. invited him. So it's really a matter of just bringing people together to, you know, be able to talk about it or not talk about it. They don't have to talk about it, but it's really mm-hmm. just a little bit of a brotherhood kind of thing. Veterans getting together to support each other, I guess. Mm-hmm. So that's just what this is all about. And I don't know, Josh, how have the reunions been to you? I know, you know, B Company's had quite a few.
Yeah. The bigger reunions you're talking about?
The bigger ones, even smaller ones that you may know of that you go to that I don't know about.
I have not been to any other reunion except our big reunion in D.C. Of course, that was because of various arrangements and things. But that's the only one that I've ever been to. And I think that what you're saying about just guys coming, that's fine. Yeah. The last reunion that we were there in D.C., a friend of mine came from Minnesota who was with a Big Red One.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I don't know if you remember him, Roger Dullum.
Yeah.
He's become a real good friend. We meet with each other ever so often. In fact, we're meeting this weekend for a fishing trip. So that's great.
Yeah.
But he really appreciated the fact that he was invited to be a part of the group and was well received.
Yeah.
And the one story that I'll tell you about is Jimmy Jones, my machine gunner. You know, of course, he's a black young man. Well, he was a black young man. He's a man now, of course. And he never had made a reunion till finally one of the last ones that we made. Yeah. Jimmy showed up. And I said, Jimmy, how come you hadn't been coming? He said, I was afraid I wasn't going to be accepted.
Hmm.
I said, well, I don't know why.
Yeah.
I said, we spent a whole year almost together.
Yeah.
We ate, we slept, we did everything together. So it was great to see Jimmy. And he was glad he was there too.
Yeah.
So it was a good time. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's, I think they're so valuable to you guys, to us. And I also thought when we started having the reunions and had the bigger rooms where the wives could come and also be present, I think that also helps everybody. It's really just a matter of getting to, well, harder to understand all this stuff sometimes, but it's getting to understand, you know, what you went through and trying to, for some people, it's harder to cope with than for other people, right?
Right.
Yeah. And that's why we still get together at the lake in Michigan. It's really just, you know, 4 or 5 days, guys get together, and, you know, some people go golf and do whatever they want to do. Some people don't. I mean, it's whatever you want to do during that week. And, you know, we just get together, and sometimes the issues come up and sometimes they don't. It just depends on what you feel like. Right. But I think it's also, it's a valuable time. It's, yeah.
Healing time.
Yeah. So it's worth doing. It's part of who we are, what we are. Right. I mean, that's the other part of it. So, I don't know. It'd be great if you wanted to come up to Michigan in September. We'd love to have you. I don't know that we'll ever see one of the big reunions that Barry used to put together every other year here in Washington. So we may have to rely on the smaller ones to get together. And or the other option, of course, is doing little things like we're doing today, right? It's another way of recognizing what you've been through, the service, the sacrifice, and so on. I was half tempted, Josh, to say, well, since you were already married when you went off to Vietnam, and by the way, what was one of those early letters you got from home when you ended up in Vietnam that you were telling me about?
Oh, I guess the whole thing was that I was ready to serve, you know, but at the same time, I wanted to make sure I was going to come back, you know. That's the other part.
Yeah.
And the wife and I had been married for a year before I got drafted. And we kind of did the thing that the old prophet in the Bible did, you know, Lord, give us a sign of me coming back. And the sign that we asked for was that we'd have a child. Well, my first letter, when I got into Vietnam, the first letter I got when I was there, guess what it said? Becky says, I'm pregnant. So I said, all right.
There you go.
So my daughter was born in July the 5th of 69, and I came home August the 12th. 69. So good Lord was good.
Yeah. Good Lord, well, it's good. It's timing. It's kind of interesting because as I told you when we talked previously, well, you got that kind of news, and I got the news, but I wasn't as happy as you were. It was different, a little bit different. I mean, my father waited till it was 2 nights before he was leaving for Vietnam in 68 to tell me my mother was pregnant. And I was not very happy about that, thinking, you know, this is going to be his third combat tour in his Army career, having been in Korea, having already been to Vietnam once, and this is about ready to go back. And I wasn't happy at all to hear that news that my mother was pregnant. And my brother was born, I guess, a month before your child was born, because he was born on June 3rd of 69. So, you know, kind of strange stuff. It's... all the things that make life strange, different, interesting, and the parallels sometimes that happen. So, it's just a crazy, crazy thing. So, I don't know. I was almost going to say maybe we should have your wife join us for this today, but I thought, well, maybe better not. I'm sure she has some thoughts about the whole thing as well, because she had to endure your time away.
Yeah.
So,
well, she hadn't
as
forgiven
well as your
me.
Families. I mean, both your, you know.
Yeah.
So
she hadn't forgiven me though, because we were supposed to meet for R&R in Hawaii, like in June of 69.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
You're too close to the dates, and then what if I get zapped and I don't get to see you anymore? So I didn't. I went to Tokyo instead. And of course, you won't forgive me for me going to Tokyo instead of Hawaii.
So, well, I don't know, Monica. I guess you weren't in Vietnam long enough to get the option to have an R&R. So you had the opportunity to just leave the Army after you were there for a short time.
after I was separated from active duty.
Yeah. And yeah. did you have to stay in the active reserve after you got out?
2 years.
Mm.
Two years.
Yeah.
I went to Waco for 2 years for a week, allegedly to train.
Mm. And were you?
I was told that I was still subject to be recalled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And was that something you worried about happening to you?
Definitely. Is the Pope Catholic?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I would have thought being an active reserve would not have been a very comfortable situation to be in at that time.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
No. But it was only for 2 weeks of every year.
Yeah. But at the same time, I mean, things got worse. So, you know, I would think that you worry that they'd say you need to come back and fill some spots.
Yes. I was on pins and needles for 2 years.
Yeah. And well, like Josh, were you married at the time or not?
I wasn't.
Yeah. Well, that made you even more susceptible because being a single guy and already having served, they would have said, well, he's one of the guys we should have back if we need him, you know.
We don't have to train him. He's already trained.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Those thoughts came through my mind every day.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, fortunately that didn't happen. So that's,
yes.
Yeah. That's
thank
good.
The good Lord.
Yeah. No. Well, you know, I'm not going to keep you all afternoon because I'm sure there might be some things you still want to do today. But I do want to thank both of you for being willing to do this and have this little chat today, because I know sometimes it can be difficult and things we don't realize it's going to be difficult at the moment until something just comes to us and suddenly you've got an emotional moment and it can be difficult, but I appreciate it. And I thank you very much for sharing that with us today. And anyway, I know Josh, you're getting ready to go on a trip also. So have a safe trip. Stay well. And Monica, great meeting you. And thank you very much for serving and going through what you went through. And certainly the invitation to both of you, if you want to come up to Michigan and just spend a few days with a few other vets, let me know. I'm more than happy to send you the details. So.
Thank you for the invite.
Yeah.
Tim, thank you for your time.
And
We appreciate it.
Yeah.
And thank you all for your service. Pretty heartfelt and really amazing. So we appreciate you very much. So we are celebrating National Vietnam War Veterans Day on Tim's Travails, honoring his book, The Fortunate Son, and all of the work that he does to support vets. So we will keep you in our hearts, and we will talk to you again next month. I'm Hope Katz-Gibbs, proud producer of the show on Incandescent Radio and Incandescent TV. Monica and Josh, it was really a pleasure to meet you. All right, y'all. Thanks so much. We'll see you again soon.